kind of feel like that y'all heard that story of the little engine that could. Amen. He said, I think I can, I think I can. Amen. Well, that's kind of how I feel about preaching tonight. I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. And so if y'all will throw some coal on the fire, amen, and say amen every now and then, maybe we'll make it up the mountain this evening, okay? Amen. I got it in me. I ain't preached in this. We didn't have service last two Wednesday nights. And I hope that doesn't upset you. It did upset me last Wednesday. And all the weather people and even some of you church members kept calling, preacher, it's going to be bad. What are we going to do? And about 5 o'clock, I said, well, we'll call it off. It's going to be bad. And I don't know how it was at your house. It's about 40 degrees. At 7 o'clock, it's about 40 degrees. And it was. We should have had service last Wednesday. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. I know it got bad up after that. But anyway, amen. I feel like preaching tonight. All right. So I think I can. Let's all stand. And if I say something that ain't scripturally correct tonight, I am on medication. And I'm trusting that the Lord will guard me from saying things I shouldn't say. And it all makes sense tonight, amen. All right, Psalm 25. Good to see you smiling tonight in the house of the Lord. Verse 1, we'll read this psalm down through its entirety. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Notice this phrase, let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me. For thy goodness' sake, O Lord, good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. Let's pray together. We'll give you our thought and we'll preach for just a moment tonight. Father, we're so grateful and thankful this evening to be in the house of the Lord. Father, Lord, we don't take it for granted. Lord, especially tonight. God, we understand it's a great privilege to be able to walk into the house of God. Lord, into this place that we call the church tonight, the local assembly, and gather, Lord, with the other children of God that, Lord, have put their name here. Father, Lord, thank you for bringing us together tonight. Thank you for the visitors that are in our midst. Father, I pray that each and every heart and life and soul would be spoke to by the Word of God tonight. May you have a very personal and a very real message to every soul that's present this evening. Father, as we preach tonight, I pray we'd be endowed with power and wisdom from on high. God, you know the frailty and feebleness of our health and of our mind and, Lord, of our body tonight. God, I pray that You'd work in spite of us this evening, and may the Word of God find a lodging place as a seed in every heart of every individual this evening, and to bring forth fruit not only tonight, but in the days to come. May the Word of God, Lord, that is spoken tonight, be real, Lord, in this place. Lord, we pray for sinners tonight that they'd be stirred and convicted and saved, and that the saints of God this evening, Lord, would be stirred up in their heart, Lord, to trust You, Lord, ever the more in days to come. Lord, all that You do, we'll give You the glory and the praise and the honor for it. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You can be seated tonight. Psalm 25, we understand from the heading of this psalm that it's yet another psalm from the pen of David. The Bible said a psalm of David, and David begins his psalm, "Unto Thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul." And so David is given a psalm where really David is going to be expressing his faith and his trust in the Lord. As many scholars, I don't know who the scholars are, but many scholars or writers or commentators believe and are in agreement that this psalm is likely penned during that time of the rebellion, the Absalom-led rebellion in the kingdom of David. David is on the run. David is in trouble. Many have turned against David, even his own son, and has brought hardship and trouble into the life of David. If that is the background, or whether it is or whether it isn't tonight, is not really our concern. I'm not really preaching from the direct background of the psalm, but one thing we know is we've read it to you tonight in its entirety, and David is in the midst of trouble. We read in this psalm that David said, "Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord." In verse 15, he said, "For He shall pluck my feet out of the net." David is saying that in my life right now, there are uncertain times and uncertain circumstances that I'm faced with. And literally, there's many people that hate me with cruel hatred. There's many people that are out to get me, so much so that they've laid snares in my path. And even if these snares do take me, I'm trusting that the Lord will deliver me from the things that I'm facing. And I say tonight, this psalm, I believe, is relevant tonight of the child of God in the sense that we have an enemy and we face troubling days, even in these last days that you and I are living. We understand there are days that are filled with trouble, and there are days filled with uncertainties. There are days filled with many days we don't know what to do. We don't know what direction to go. And everywhere we look, it seems like, but then we find uncertain times that just leave us perplexed. And that's where David is at in Psalm 25. There is a very specific and repeated request that David makes mention of, that he asked God to do for him, that he asked God to lead him in as he faces these uncertain times. I'm interested in that phrase to preach from tonight out of this psalm. Notice with me again in verse number 2, in this time of perplexity, this time of trouble, David said, "Oh my God, I trust in Thee." And then he makes this statement, "Let me not be ashamed." David is saying, "Lord, I'm in a time of trouble. I don't want to be brought to shame in this time of my life." He repeats this request toward the end of this psalm when he said in verse 20, "Oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed." Is that what your King James Bible said? And so David is saying, "Lord, they're out to get me. They're saying all sorts of things about me. They're trying to snare me. They're trying to bring me to a place where there's great shame heaped up upon my testimony." A word of shame that David uses here literally means in the Strong's. He defined it to mean to be pale, to be delayed, or here's the word I want to emphasize tonight, to be disappointed. David is saying, "Lord, don't let me get to the place where I'm disappointed. Lord, I've been serving You. I've been living for You. I'm trusting in You. And Lord, when all is said and done and the enemy has had his way, Lord, let not mine enemy triumph over me. Oh, let me come out on the other side of this situation with my head bowed low, disappointed in that God. Can I say tonight, as we further do a study on this word of shame, I want to know what Webster said. He said this word ashamed, it means confused by a consciousness of guilt or inferiority. What David is saying is, when all this comes to an end, when my life is over, I don't want to be confused about what I've believed and what I've practiced and how I've lived my life. Lord, I'm trusting that you won't let me be ashamed, be confused. He went on to say, and it means to be confused by the mortification of pride. David's pride is not in David, it's in the Lord. And he's saying, Lord, I don't want to get to the place in my life where in this situation and in times when trouble arises, and I'm confused about who I'm trusting in and who I've made my pride in. And Kenneth St. Webster's went on to say that the word of shame means to be confused by failure or disappointment. And so I believe that David is saying, Lord, let me not be ashamed. Oh, let me get to the place where I'm confused in disappointment in what I'm going through. Have you ever been disappointed in that? Amen. Sure you have. You've got things that at length, and we'll see in a moment, even the life of David, and there's times we ought to be ashamed of the way we live our lives. There's things tonight, and I've done, things I've got myself into, and troubles I've brought in my own life. I'll be honest tonight, I'd have to hang my head in shame and say that I got myself in a mess. You ever been there? Amen. Sure you have. David's been there. Now David's in a situation, Brother A.L., and he didn't ask for this. It's been brought to him. And now he's trusting that God is going to honor his life, and God is going to honor God's word and lead David in such a way that David will have no confusion and no disappointment about the faith and the life that David has lived. And I say to that, I want to live my life every day in every situation with that prayer to God. God, when it's all said and done, and when we end this thing, we stand before you. Lord, help me to be able to stand before you without disappointment. Help me to go through situations of life without hanging my head in confusion. Father, help me that I can live my life in such a way that I would never be ashamed. David makes this statement in several of the other Psalms. I believe it's Psalm 31. And David said, Lord, let me never be ashamed. And he talked about a shame about God's children not being ashamed in the fact that they called upon the name of God. And then I believe this truth is further emphasized even in Psalm 25 as David makes a statement in verse 2 and in verse 20, and his prayer and request to God is, let me not be ashamed. Then he relates it even to your life and mine tonight. In verse number 3, here's what he said. He said, yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. A word wait that is used in Psalm 25, it's used several times, literally means to be entwined with, to be braided to. And what David is saying is, Lord, amen, that crowd that has intertwined their life in yours and braided their life to you and have identified themselves with God, Lord, let them never come to the place where they're disappointed. Let them never get to the place where they're confused about what's right and about what's wrong and be confused about what God is doing. And so tonight, I want to use that phrase, let me not be ashamed, this evening and preach from Psalm 25 just on that simple thought, let me not be ashamed. Let me not be ashamed. There are several things I believe that we can draw from the night as David goes
goes through this soul and some things that I don't want to be ashamed of tonight. And I'll do my very best to be brief and make sense tonight. All right? Number one, notice with me, let me not be ashamed of my reliance upon the Lord. Let me not be ashamed of my reliance upon the Lord. Now don't forget, David is in trouble. Verses 15 through 20, we find that David is in a bad way. At the enemy's out to get in, there's snares and traps that have been laid. And there's an enemy that's very cruel, that's out to bring David into desolation and into affliction. He said in verse number 16, he said, "For I am desolate and afflicted." So what is David going to do? He's on the run. He said, "The troubles in my heart are enlarged." I'm in a place where things are not getting any better. Things are not looking any brighter. Things are not, my friend, in David's land, things are not, my friend, are not conducive to a real good atmosphere in David's land. Amen. He said, "I'm looking at it and I'm considering it. And the more I meditate upon it, it's not getting smaller. It's getting bigger." Have you ever been there? Amen. When the troubles of life were, my friend, mounting up and enlarging themselves in your life and in your mind and in your heart. That's where David is in this psalm. So what's he going to do? I like how he begins this psalm. He says, in the midst of everything that he's going through, he said unto thee, "O Lord, do I lift up my soul? O my God, I trust in thee." Amen. You know what David is saying? He's saying, in everything I'm going through, I'm going to rely upon him. I can't figure it out. I don't know why and it's come my way. I don't know how long it's going to last. But I do know this. I am going to trust in God. Amen. Can I say tonight that's a good place? Are you and I to live our lives? To live in reliance upon God. And that's how we began this Christian life. The Bible said, "For by grace are you saved through faith." Amen. Listen, we got saved when we, amen, called on and believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how a man gets saved. He ain't baptized into the faith. He's not. My friend doesn't join the church to join the family of God. And can I say tonight, we get saved by faith. The Bible said that when we get saved by faith, it said the just shall live by faith. It said in another passage, the just shall live by his faith. The Bible said in Hebrews 11 and 6, and my friend, that without faith it is impossible to please God. Or he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so, my friend, we live from faith to faith. Amen. We believe God. We believe God when we got saved. And my friend, since we've been saved, there's days set that we must rely upon God. And my friend, cast our soul into the God that has made us and has saved us. And so what is David saying? He's saying, "Lord, I've lifted my soul up to thee. I've given you my heart. I've given you my life. I've given you my trouble. And Lord, let me not be ashamed." And I put it this way, all of David's eggs are in the Lord's basket. Amen. The enemy's out to get it. And they're telling David, "You ain't got a chance. You ain't going to make it." And David said, "Well, I don't know about all that, but I know this. I'm going to trust in God. And I know that according to verse 20, he said, the Lord's going to deliver me." He said, "Let me not be ashamed." He said, "I'm awaiting on the Lord." Amen. What's David saying? David's saying, "Lord, after how I've trusted you, amen, let me not be ashamed. Don't disappoint me. Don't let me be confused about what my God can do. Don't let me get to the place after hell and I've leaned on you that you had failed me. And I say, I'm glad that I serve a God that it has never failed." Amen. David is saying, "Lord, I don't know how it's all going to work out, but I'm trusting and it's all going to be okay." Lord, I'm telling the enemy, I'm telling myself, I'm telling my family that we're going to trust God and that God God's going to see us through. I say there's been days I've had to look my little family, my wife in the face and my children in the face and say, I don't know what we're going to do. All I know that we're going to do is trust the Lord. And I mean step out on a branch there. I mean out on the ledge. Are you listening? And there wasn't nothing to hang on to except relying upon God, that God that I was going to see us through. And there's been times I've had to fall on my face and say, Lord, I've told them we're going to trust you. I've told my soul I'm going to trust you. And Lord, this is all we've got. There ain't no other way to get through. There's no other way to make it. Oh, Lord, you're all we've got. Lord, let me not be ashamed. Oh, let me be disappointed. And I put all my eggs in your basket. And I say tonight, let me not be ashamed of my reliance upon the Lord. You're going to have to learn to live by faith in these last days. And I don't want to upset nobody, but in these last days we're up of politicians that are losing their minds and leading our country down a road that, amen, we'll never recover from. Amen, this turning our back on Israel and making stupid financial decisions. And my friend, all the business that's going on in our day, and people and Republicans and Democrats elect. Amen. We're in a mess tonight. Amen. And there's a lot of people biting their nails. There's a lot of people that are complaining and upset. What are we going to do? Amen. Well, I tell you what I'm going to do. Amen. Old Phil Robertson said at CPAC this last week, he said, I'm going to hang on to my wife. I'm going to hang on to my Bible. I'm going to hang on to my Constitution. And I'm going to hang on to my gun. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. The Constitution and the Bible. Amen. And our guns. God and our guns said, amen, we're going to rely on that and trust that when all is said and done, and God's going to see us through. Amen. You say, I don't believe in guns. Well, the Lord told his disciples, go buy a sword. If you ain't got a sword, go buy one. And if you got one, go buy a second one. Amen. Why? Because you got two hands. Amen. That's right. Lord help. I'm a get preaching on medicine now. Amen. Amen. We gotta rely on God. You see, I'm just gonna trust God. Amen. Well, I'm gonna trust God too. Amen. That if I ever gotta draw that gun up, he's gonna let me shoot on target. Somebody say amen. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm trusting the Lord tonight. Amen. Listen, I'm going to be wise. We're to be wise tonight and use some wisdom and use some diligence about us in preparation. And can I say at the end of the day, God is the one that we're trusting in and relying upon it. Amen. Every time you spend a dollar bill on that bill, they ain't got it off yet. They're going to try for it's over. And it says, in God we trust. And I say tonight, that's a good place to be. And you're relying upon the Lord when you're trusting in the God of glory to help you through it. And David said, Lord, that's all I've got is to put my faith and lift my soul up to thee and put it in your hand. Lord, let me not be ashamed that I ever done that. Amen. After how I trusted you, let me not be ashamed. David says, I believe in this soul. Let me not be ashamed. Let me not be ashamed of mad. Amen. Of my reliance upon the Lord. Number two, notice in this psalm I want to say, let me not be ashamed of my relationship with the Lord. Notice what he said unto thee, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. And I say that David identifies that. And the God that he's praying to is not some distant God. It's not just the God of Elijah. It's not just the God of Father Abraham. That David has very much entered into a very personal relationship with his God. And I say, let me not be ashamed. All of God in this land. I'm thankful we sang that song a moment ago. Where could I go but to the Lord? And thank God for our neighbors and friends and church folk that we have in this life. Thank God for the family of faith. Amen. But there's one relationship that outshines them all, and that is my God in glory. Amen. You may leave tonight. Amen. You may forsake me. You may, amen, get mad and get upset and go somewhere else, and you may never speak to me again. Can I say that? Amen. I can live life with or without you tonight so long as I have my God. And David said, amen, my son has rebelled against me. My own flesh and blood has forsaken me. Amen. My friends have turned their back on me. Mine acquaintances said, and those that once sang my praises said, have turned their back and walked away. And now they're saddened with the enemy. David said, I've still got my God. Amen. Can I say, as long as you got a relationship with the Lord, you're going to make it. Amen. Hallelujah. Notice with me, there's several different relationships that are here referenced by David, and he has with the Lord. Number one, the what I call the salvation relationship with the Lord. Notice what he said in verse number 5. In verse 5, the Bible says that as David is speaking, notice what he calls the Lord. He says, for thou art the God of my salvation. Is that what your King James Bible said? You know what David is referencing in that? At that is, in spite of what he's going through, David knows who he belongs to. He belongs to the Lord because he's saved, and he's not ashamed to make it known. Amen. Listen, I'm telling you, David is forsaken by many a crowd. But thank God he's saved, and he knows that God reached down one day and pulled him out of the mire of sin and changed his life and delivered him from himself. Amen. And David knows that salvation relationship with the Lord. And I say tonight, that's the most important relationship you'll know that you have tonight with the Lord. My friendly relationship, amen, that with the Lord begins here, amen, with salvation and knowing that God is the God, that the Lord is the God of my salvation. Amen. Listen, I didn't save myself. You say you keep talking about being saved. What in the world does that mean? And I just go on record tonight. It might be somebody here tonight, you ain't been in church in a long time, and you don't know what being saved's all about. All that means is that I was born in sin. I was born headed to hell, and you were too. And none of us was born good. Amen. All our goodness and righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God. And God loved me so much that he sent the Lord Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, into this world to die for my sin and give his blood that I could be saved and rescued from that awful place of sin and hell. Amen. One day in my life, he came by my way, speaking to my heart, telling me what I was. Amen. When nobody else really cared, nobody else really knew how bad a shape I was in. Amen. When everybody else bragged on me and told me how good I was, but on the inside I was full of sin and hell, full of the judgment, the wrath, and condemnation of God. Amen. He came to me and spoke to me, not in an audible way, not in a visible way, but in a still small voice through the Word of God. He showed me what I was, showed me how much he loved me, showed me how much he did so I could be saved. And I bowed down on my knee and called on his name and confessed to him what I was and confessed to him what I needed him to do. And thank God, by grace, he reached down, reached further down. Brother Rain said he reached further down, and I could have ever reached up, and he saved me, and now he's the God of my salvation. You say, I've never done that. I've never heard of that. Well, there ain't no better time than right now tonight. and to run down this old time altar, fall down, amen, where you sit this evening and make an altar out of your pew and say, dear God, I'm a lost, hell-bound, deserving sinner, and I've lived these years of my life apart from God, and now I'm coming home, I'm coming to God, amen, for salvation, David. Amen. You know why David can say, Lord, let me not be ashamed. Amen. Because he knew that he was a child of God, and he belonged to the Lord, and he wasn't ashamed to tell everybody. Amen. I get worried about this crowd that says, well, my salvation, my relationship to God, it's my business. It ain't none of your business. Well, amen, I always get excited when somebody asks me if I'm saved. Ain't no shame about that. In fact, the Lord Jesus said in His earthly ministry that if you'll be ashamed of Him before men, He'll be ashamed of you before the Heavenly Father, and that He'd literally deny your name in heaven. I'm telling you, and saved people have no shame about being saved. Amen. He had a salvation relationship. Notice with me, number two, he had a schooling relationship with the Lord. It's amazing, over and over, you read it, it's five or six or seven times David uses the word teach in Psalm 25. He uses other words like show and lead me, and talks about the fact that God guides the meek in judgment. Amen. You say, what are you saying? In verses 4 through 10, the Lord is showing, teaching, and leading David in his paths and ways by the truth of His word. He said, Lord, lead me. Notice what he said. Verse 4, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. He said in verse number 5, lead me in thy truth and teach me. He said in verse number 9, the meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. The Bible said in verse 10, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. What is David saying over and over? He said that literally the relationship that he has with God is one of a schooling relationship. And God is teaching David how to live. And God is directing David's life. And when David doesn't know where to go and what to do, what does he do? He doesn't flip coins. He doesn't have friend roll the dice. Amen. He doesn't hang on to his lucky rabbit's foot. But rather he sits down and lets God take the word of God and take truth and teach David what he's to do. And I say there's the important matter tonight in our lives and as we live our lives. If you're going to live a life where you're not ashamed, amen, you got to have a salvation relationship with the Lord. Amen, but you got to have a schooling relationship with the Lord. You got to let God teach you something. I worry about this crowd that's done learned it all. Can I get a witness right there? Amen. I stay far down. I stay far away. I don't hook up real tight with people that's already learned it all. Amen. You might as well say, man, David's a man after God's own heart. He's not a young whippersnapper anymore. He's been some places. He's done some things. He's arrived at some places in his life that, my friend, are prestigious. And yet David said, Lord, I'm still in your school and I still need direction and I still need guidance. I still need you to direct me. He said in verse 12, what man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. David hadn't grown up so much in his relationship with God that David thinks he can start making the choices. He said, Lord, I'm still in a schooling relationship where you are the one that decides what I do, where I go, how I live. Amen. God is the one that makes them decisions. Amen. You want to live a life of shame in your Christian life? Just check out of school. Amen. And by the way, and I, to my own shame, I skip school some days, and that's still wrong. Ain't it right there? Think I'm right. You skip enough lessons, amen. You skip enough classroom settings where you're supposed to be taught something. Guess where it shows up? Shows up on test day. Amen. David is saying, Lord, I've been sitting down and I've been learning the lessons and I've been receiving the instruction and now, Lord, I'm being put to the test and now I've got to live the things that you've taught me. I think that's good preaching right there. Amen. Lord, you've been teaching me and leading me and showing me and guiding me. Lord, you've been giving me instruction and now I'm being put to the test. Now I'm in trouble, and Lord, now I'm going to rely on that schooling relationship, everything you've taught me. I'm going to put it into practice. Let me not be ashamed. Amen. You know why a lot of folk got to bow their head in their Christian life? Amen. And we'll have to on the day of judgment because they didn't sit down and let God school them on how they's to live their life. I got a big news flash for you. The day you got saved, and God's a God that's very much a gentleman. He's very gracious and very, very loving. And thank God he doesn't push us and force us to do anything. But the day I got saved was the day I gave up rights to my own life. Amen. And there's a crowd runs around and says, no, that ain't true. Amen. You got to make a profession of faith. And I know there's growing in grace and there's schooling that takes place. But he bought me that day. He owns me. And David said that those that have a relationship with the Lord that get in school learn. And it's not their choice in life. They don't get to choose what path that they want to go down. But rather, it's God that leads them. He schools them. He guides them so that when they're put to the test, they don't have to be living their lives in shame. And I say tonight, amen, David had a salvation relationship. He had a schooling relationship. But I like this, David had a secret relationship with the Lord. I'm going to preach on this someday. I've been studying. In fact, I had prayed for some time the Lord would let me preach this psalm in light of verse 14, and he wouldn't bring it all together for me. But notice in verse 14. Look in verse number 13. Verse number 12. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. David said, you know what I got? I got a secret relationship with the Lord. The word secret there, Brother Larry, literally means it deals with sitting on a cushion or a couch with a friend. It goes beyond that while you're sitting there with that friend, you are engaged in consulting and conversing with one another in an intimate way. In my study of this psalm, I come across some of what Spurgeon said. Here's what he said about the secret of the Lord in this verse. He said it signifies familiar intercourse, confidential intimacy, and select fellowship. Amen. Can I say that's what David had with the Lord? And in all of his life, in his relationship with the Lord, he went beyond just having a salvation relationship. He went beyond, my friend, just sitting in the classroom of God and being schooled like all of God's children ought to be. Where David literally is entered in to a secret, a private, a special relationship with the Lord. You say, well, that ain't fair that God would let David do that and not let somebody else. God's interested in everybody having that secret relationship. Are you listening? Amen. But it's only those that David said get to the place where they fear the Lord. In the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus, he had what is known as the 12 disciples. 11 out of the 12, but Jerry had a salvation relationship. Amen. Judas was a devil. He was the son of perdition. And he wound up betraying the Lord and died and went to hell. Amen. But the other 11 knew what it was to be saved by the grace of God. Out of those 11, 3 of them are known as the inner circle. They, my friend, had a unique relationship with the Lord in the fact that they were separated from the other 11. And they're going to see things that, amen, the Lord is going to teach them and show them and guide them in, because they were willing to be taught and schooled by the Lord. My friend, of them three, there was one that when you come to the Gospel of John, amen, he refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. He was the one that leaned his head upon the bosom of the Lord. And my friend, Peter could have had that, and Thomas could have had that, and Bartholomew could have had that, and my friend, any of the other 12 could have had it, amen, but John entered into something, amen, that was intimate and private, and something that was dear to John and Jesus. It was a secret, special secret relationship. I could preach on it tonight, but in the end over there, when the Lord looked at them 12 and said, one of y'all is going to betray me. And they all began to commune amongst themselves. And they said this, they said, who is it? Who in the world is it? They didn't know who it was going to be. And Peter leaned over and said, Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? Amen. Thomas said, Lord, is it I? And then, amen, after they got frustrated, they looked over there, and John, the beloved disciple whom Jesus loved, over there is on the bosom of the Lord. They say, psst, John, we can't get nothing out of him. He won't tell us the secret. Why don't you ask him? Amen. Hallelujah. And when everybody else was asking, Lord, is it I? John didn't ask, is it I? Because ain't nobody can be that close with the Lord ever betray him. Ain't nobody entered into the secret of the Lord that God has let enter into the secret of the Lord, into that special relationship. They will not deny and betray the Lord. And so John didn't ask, is it I? He said, Lord, who is it? Amen. I don't know. I don't know about any of these other guys, but as close and dear as you and I are in this moment, Lord, and listen, when nobody else could get an answer, there was one that had entered into the secret of the Lord and had feared God and reverenced Him. Amen. And David said, I tell you where I'm at with the Lord. Amen. Nobody else loves me. I don't know. God loves me, and I fear Him, and I respect Him, and I've entered into that secret, intimate relationship with God. And I say tonight, you want to live your life and stand before the Lord, amen, without any shame in your life, amen, and be able to stand there with a clear conscience before God on judgment day. Live your life in the secret of the Lord. By the way, that brings benefits in this life and in the seed that's following us. He said in verse number 13, did you catch what he said? He said, he shall be at ease. I think that's what he said. Verse 13, his soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. Amen. Listen, I'm not throwing stones at nobody, but I'm banking on tonight that God saved me. Amen. And that God has schooled me. And I'm banking on that I have something special with God that you may or you may not have, but I know I have. And that in that relationship, it's going to rub off somewhere down the line. It's going to rub off on that little boy. Amen. And he'll grow up and he'll love God and he'll be saved and he'll be schooled and he'll know something about the secret of the Lord. And then maybe one day, amen, there'll be some little girl has pity on his ugly body. Amen. And fall in love with it and say, I do. And they'll get married and they'll grow up and love the Lord together. And they'll have babies together who'll get saved and schooled and enter the secret of the Lord. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm here tonight without a doubt in my mind, because years ago, as an old same Nazarene great-grandma, amen, who got saved by the grace of God, who got schooled in the things of God, and had a secret, special relationship with the Lord, and it rubbed off on my granddaddy, and that rubbed off on my daddy, and that rubbed off on me, and that's rubbing off on my children. Amen. There's benefits to entering these relationships with the Lord. It ain't just enough that you're saved.
You got to go beyond being saved. You got to, I'm hanging up here. I'm still feeling like that little engine that could. I think I can. I don't know if we are yet or not, but I'm feeling pretty good in my own heart right now. Amen. I'm glad there's benefits to saved. I'm glad I'm saved, but that ain't all there is to be had with God. And let God get a hold of your heart and teach you truth to live by it and sell out and live for God and go all the way and say, God, I'll let you school me and lead me to the point and one of these days I'll enter into something and secret and special that'll rub off on my family. Amen. Yeah, man. You say, it's just flipping the coins. I know the mentality. I've been told all these years, well, hey man, your children, they're, and I know when they're young, man, they're easy to control and they're easy to make do what's right. Hey man, I've been having devotions with my family here recently out of Galatians 5 and warning them about the works of the flesh and living in the spirit. Hey man, you say why? Cause I got saved and God schooled me and them things. Amen. There's some things God's let me learn in secret. Amen. I want that to rub off on them. Amen. And I'm telling you, amen, David said, ain't crowd better fear the Lord and get so far back there in the secrets with God that it'll rub off on their seed. Their seed is going to inherit some blessings because of the relationship daddy has with God. Amen. Now, I know when they get older, they got a free will. They make up their own mind. But I'm banking on sowing some seed and investing myself in my walk with God and my relationship with God to make sure my children have every opportunity to succeed in the blessings of God. It's all I got. I beg God, let me not be ashamed. Are you listening to me? Let me not be ashamed. I'm not being mean and cranky tonight. There are people that my friend have had great relationships with God. And even David in this psalm, David's a man after God's own heart. And Absalom rebels and goes a whole different way. Even rebels against not only God, but his own flesh and blood daddy. And David, I think, is saying, Lord, I've been a man after your own heart. I've been trying to live for God. You saved me and schooled me, and I've got this secret with you. And Lord, let me not be ashamed. Let there be some seed that comes along behind me. Amen. That'll walk in the blessings of the relationship that I've had with you. God let a young man, Solomon, come on behind. Amen. And I'm glad that blessing's there for us as parents. David said, let me not be ashamed. Let me not, I'm feeling like preaching. Ain't that sad? It took me 35 minutes to get right here tonight. I feel like I could really preach. Amen. Amen. But Jordan, I'm glad that if we sell out and go all the way with God. Amen. In that relationship with the Lord. What blessings and benefits there are, not just on the day of judgment, but right now, tonight. Amen. I don't know what kind of Christian, and I listen, I'm hearing these poor mouth preachers and poor mouth Christians act like being saved so hard and being saved such a hard, difficult life. Amen. I know in some ways that's true, Brother Jerry, but I'm telling you, looking at a child of God tonight, amen, that's excited about being saved, that's excited, and I know something about God that's excited about what God's still teaching me and how God's still leading me. Amen. It's still the best life worth living. Amen. Through every trouble and every trial, every betrayal, every hardship, I'm still here to say tonight, and it's still worth serving God. Amen. It's still worth being saved. It's still worth going to school. It's still worth finding the secrets. Amen. It's still worth having a relationship with the Lord. Amen, amen. I was listening to a preacher today. He's reading over here the end of Paul's life. Over there he's writing to Timothy, and he said, Timothy, old Demas forsook me, and Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. That's the hardships.
But he didn't stop there. You know how he ended? He went on bragging. He had a list that was 20 times bigger of the crowd that had done him right and had stayed faithful. You know what helped Paul finish right? He kept his eye on the positive, and even through the negative, he had to acknowledge he was there. Amen. But he still said, God's been good. Hey, God's children have been good. Amen. In fact, that word secret, it also deals with a congregation, and I ain't the only one that's in on the secret. Amen. Amen. By the way, you watch this crowd that acts like they're the only one in on the secret. You ain't the only one special to God. Amen. I hear these preachers, sometimes they act like they got something nobody else can have. Amen. I didn't know we was Catholics. Y'all might as well say, man, look on up in here. Ain't nobody got anything more than you can have. Amen. And I'm telling you, there's people peppered all over this country in churches. Amen. God has raised up all over the country. Amen. That have a walk with God and a relationship with God. Amen. And we ought to make much of that tonight and say, Lord, I'm going to trust it at my walk with you and my relationship with you. Lord, let me not be ashamed when this thing comes down to an end. I'm banking on my relationship with God's going to keep me from being disappointed. Amen. Let me not be ashamed of my reliance upon God, of my relationship with God. Number three, let me not be ashamed of my record about God. You know what David did? He said in verse 6, he said, remember, O Lord. And he says it again in verse number 7, remember. And he goes down in verse 8 and he starts giving Brother William a testimony about who the Lord is. Verse 6, I won't preach it all. Y'all ready to go? I'm just ready to get started. Verse 6, he deals with the tenderness of the Lord. Amen. Can I say tonight, I'm glad we got a tender God. He's not a rough and gruff and tough God, but a God that is tender and moved when I'm moved. He hurts when I hurt. He feels the things that I feel. He's a God of tenderness. He's the God of goodness in verse number 7. And in fact, this goodness is magnified in David's life as David recalls his own sinfulness. Amen. God's goodness is magnified the greater in our sinfulness. For the Bible said in the New Testament, Paul said, it is the goodness of God that leadeth men to repentance. He said, Lord, don't remember the sins of my youth. He said, don't hold my iniquities against me. And he begins to brag and he said, for thy goodness sake, O Lord. What's he doing? He's making a record, not only the tenderness of God, but the goodness of God, that even in the days when David done things David shouldn't have did, God was still good to David. He deals with the uprightness of the Lord in verse 8. As he talks about good and upright is the Lord. What does that mean? That just means it is magnifying the fact that God has never done David wrong. Now David's saying that in the midst of trouble. David is going on record saying, Lord, I'm telling you and I'm telling everybody that's an enemy or a friend around me, God is full of tenderness, goodness, and uprightness. Now Lord, I've done made a record of who you are. Don't you let me look like a fool now. Lord, I'm putting it all on the line. I'm putting it all on record. Here's the character of my God. Let me not be ashamed. And I say tonight, all the times we bragged on God, all the times we stood up in troubles and in trials and in days when things was falling apart and things when things were good and we stood up said, I just want to brag on the goodness of God. I want to thank God for being always doing me right and being upright and just in my life. All the times we bragged on His faithfulness, amen, in times of trouble. You know what David's saying? Lord, let me not be ashamed of that now. Lord, be as tender as you've ever been. Lord, be as good to me as you've ever been. Lord, be as upright in my life in this time of trouble as you've ever been. Lord, let me not be ashamed of my record about the Lord. Number 4, and I'm done. Let me not be ashamed of my righteousness in the Lord. Notice what David said in verse number 21, I believe it is. David said,
talks about his integrity and his uprightness. I'm going to tell you something. You read Psalm 25, David references the sin of his youth. He references failures in his life. David didn't always do what was right. And by the way, you don't either. Amen. David made some grand failures and some great mistakes in his life. Some things that David was disappointed in himself about. Things that when David thought about it, Brother Will, he had to hang his head and feel the shame of what he had done. Boy, I wish I wouldn't have done that. Lord, I done something I shouldn't have done. In fact, it was a great sin. He said in verse number 11, I believe it is, Brother Dean, he said, Lord, I need you to pardon this thing. There's things in David's life, in David's past, that bring David great shame. But David's done got it right with God. David's done been to the Lord and confessed it and repented of it and got it right. That's why he said, don't remember it against me. In verse number seven, I believe it is, remember not the sins of my youth. You know what he's saying? He's saying, Lord, don't hold all that against me. I've done got that right. And I've done grown past that to the place where right now I've been walking in integrity and uprightness. I've been doing good, Lord. Lord, I've been honoring you with the decisions I've made. I've been living my life in the integrity and uprightness of the Lord Himself. You ever feel like, man, living for God, it just seemed like the Lord don't, there's no acknowledgement of it. You do right, and then you still got to go in trouble. You still got to go through trouble. You still got to have a trial. Anybody else ever feel like that? Lord, I'm killing myself trying to do right, and it's still so hard in life. Hey, well, I got a few of y'all. The rest of y'all pray for us, okay? Because there's days, I mean, sell out lock, stock, barrel, get rid of everything. I mean, if you even think it's sin, you're trying to avoid it and stay away from it. And you get up and you're thinking, man, today's going to be a good day. And like a 2x4 in the face, life hits you. You're sitting there going, is it even worth trying to live right? You know what, David? I think David's in this place. David said, Lord, I've been trying to do right. I know I ain't always done right, and I'm ashamed of that, but I've been trying to do right. Lord, let me not be ashamed. Don't let me be disappointed. If I got to go through this, Lord, please. And there's a fine line we walk here, and there's one crowd that says, you got to live right to get the blessings of God. I'm going to tell you, there's been a lot of days I didn't live right. Seemingly, I had more blessings on me. I can't explain all that. But I know this, David's saying, Lord, I need you to remember me right now. I need you to acknowledge that I've been trying to do what's right in the integrity and uprightness of my heart. I need you to honor that. And if you're not going to take it away, watch this now. If you're not going to take the problem away, at least preserve me through it. Yeah. Amen. And I say tonight, amen, let me not be ashamed of just selling out and saying, Lord, I'll live for you. I'll do right even when other people don't. I'll be right even when other people aren't. I'll still walk in my integrity. And we'll deal with that in Psalm 26. But Jerry, just saying, Lord, no matter what I'm going through, please just acknowledge in my life and keep me safe. Don't let me be defeated even though I've been living for you. And I say, God honors those that live for Him. God honors right. Now, you can do wrong and still have the blessings of God, but I'm going to tell you something. You do right, there's something about that that God says, I'll preserve you through your trouble. Amen. Thank God. Let me not be ashamed. I don't want to be disappointed for just simply living for God. Amen. Amen. I think I'm right about it. Let's all stand together. Father, we love you tonight. I pray that you'd help us now as we close this service. Lord, I ask you this evening you'd be with us as we go home. Lord, there's probably some people here tonight that need to get saved. And Lord, I do ask you and pray tonight that you would deal with their heart. Maybe, Lord, this evening there's somebody here that, Lord, they don't know anything about being saved. Lord, I pray, Lord, before they leave this place, would you speak to their heart? Help them tonight. In the name of Jesus, we ask it and pray. Amen and amen. All right. I appreciate your attention. I'm just going to let us go right here. We'll unhook. And I appreciate you being in the house of the Lord. I hope the Lord spoke to your heart. And I believe if we'll just keep relying on the Lord, keep a good relationship with the Lord, make a good record of the Lord, give a good testimony, and have some righteousness in the Lord, I believe we'll stand before the Lord. We won't be ashamed. I believe that. Lord, let me not be ashamed. All right.